relative X. I'm not going to get home till time Y. And when should I light Neros Chanukah? Where should I light Neros Chanukah? I'm away for Shabbos. And it's not even like you can put out a quick, these are the basic answers to all the questions, so don't bother calling me, because every little nuance changes how you would pass on the halakha. You really just need to know that you have to have a real good mahalich in that area of halakha. But every time I get a Chanukah shaila that's not about that, that's not in the 95% of Chanukah shailas that are about, I'm away for Shabbos, or I'm at a Chanukah party, I'm working late, my wife doesn't want to light without me, kind of thing. Every time I get some other Chanukah shaila, I get all excited. And I had a few this year that I thought were very interesting. Originally, when I was asked what I would say shir on, I said, I was sitting next to a very yeshivish guy, and I said, I'm supposed to say shir on YU, something related to Chanukah. What comes to your mind when you hear YU and Chanukah? So he said, the Maccabees. So originally, I said, okay, so I'll do all the Maccabees shilas. I went through my old emails, I came up with 15 shilas or so that the Maccabees have asked me over the years. When other people give them answers they didn't like or something, then I realized the Maccabees really have nothing to do with Chanukah. They made their name in Chanukah, but the Shilas had very little to do with Chanukah. So I left one in there at the end. I don't know if we'll get to it or not. Let's go through a couple of actual Shilas that I was excited by. There was a fellow, I changed his name because I forgot his name. We called him Mr. Charles in scenario number one over here on question number one, who was in from England for a long weekend, and he was flying back on one of the nights of Chanukah. His flight left early enough that he would have to leave his daughter's house in New York before even Plaga Mincha, before the Zman Hadlaka. So he was going to be on a plane the whole night of Chanukah. He was going to arrive in England 9 o'clock the next morning, well past the Zman Hadlaka. There, he was going to be on a plane all night during Chanukah. So first his shaila was, what do I do about Hadlakas Neros Chanukah? Now that's a fairly standard shaila. But then he was thinking, he wasn't asking the standard run-of-the-mill shaila. He started to think to himself, and he said, well, wait a second. The halacha is, in Shulchan Aruch, this is one of those halachas that if you're learning Hilchos Chanukah, you're trying to review within Shloshim Yom or something, the halachas of Chanukah, you sort of skip over this halacha, because it's so not nogeya b'zman hazeh. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that afilu ani amisparnis min atzedakah shoel o mocher ksuso v'lokeach shemen lahadlik. That even if a person is so poor that he can't afford any Neros Chanukah, he would have to sell his clothing, he'd have to borrow, he'd have to do something, he'd have to go begging, he'd have to do something in order to be able to find Neros Chanukah. So who's so poor that they can't even afford Neros Chanukah? Everyone can afford Neros Chanukah. Someone will give them Neros Chanukah. Not so hard to afford a single candle for Neros Chanukah. Stephen, you heard this, man. Not so hard to be able to afford Neros Chanukah. So you sort of like run through that halacha. But the halacha technically is, no matter how poor you are, you have to find the money for Neros Chanukah. Because this guy says, well, wait a second. I'm going to be flying through the night. Last time I tried to light a candle on a plane, I got arrested. So I'm not going to try to light a candle on a plane again. That's not doable. That's not feasible. So I can have my ticket changed to not fly through the night. It's a $300 fee to change my ticket, so I won't fly through the night. Maybe I'm a chayv to pay the $300 fee to not fly through the night. I was able to afford the plane ticket. It's not going to be my last $300. And even if it were my last $300, maybe that's part of my chiyuv. Maybe my chiyuv in the Neros Chanukah says that I have to spend whatever it takes to change my plane ticket. So right there, it was like a light bulb in my head that here it is, a halacha that we think is not nogeya l'maisa at all, and we have to figure out how to apply this halacha to a very real situation that, by the way, happens all the time. Just most people don't ask that as their question. They ask the question, what do I do about Neros Chanukah? They don't ask, do I change my ticket? Of course you can change your ticket. You can always change your ticket for enough money. You can always change your ticket. But no one ever asks that question. Really, that should be the question. You have to change your ticket. So on the surface, it's saying, well, of course you have to change your ticket. That's the halacha. You have to give up everything you have. You have to spend all your money in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So why would you say different? Meaning, why would there be any svara not to have to change the ticket? Because I would imagine if I would take a poll in here, I'm not going to right now, but I'm sure many of you know people or yourself have flown on Chanukah, and probably none of you know anybody who changed their ticket at significant expense in order to be able to do Hadlakas Neros Chanukah on a given night of Chanukah. So what's the difference? If it's halacha, psukah, and shulchan aruch, you have to spend all your money for Neres Chanukah, why isn't there a halacha that you have to spend all the money to change your ticket in order to be chayiv in Neres Chanukah? So that was the question that intrigued me. So first off, before we analyze anything, the first thing you have to look at is, well, wait a second. If a person is traveling on a plane on Chanukah, is it true that he can't fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah while he's traveling? Maybe there's a possibility. Maybe while he's on the plane, he can fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Marsham has a tshuva about a guy going on a train ride, an overnight train ride, and the Marsham writes in his tshuva that the fellow on the train should light Ner Chanukah on the train. That he rents it, it's not like an LIRR thing, like where you're squashed between two people. It's like, yeah, get a whole cabin with a bed and a whole setup. So you should light Ner Chanukah on the train. So the Marsham says, you can be mekayem the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah on a train. Someone told me, I don't know if this is true, but someone told me that Rav Zilberstein writes in one of his Sfarim, someone said, the way the guy said, Rav Zilberstein writes in his Sefer. Like, that's like saying, Rav Shachter says in his Shir on Why You Torah. Good luck, go finding it. Every time Rav Zilberstein sneezes, they publish another Sefer for me. So it was impossible to find. I checked every one. Chashuk Echamen, Varevna, Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3. I checked all the different, Meir Sharim, all the different Rav Zilberstein Sfarim. I couldn't find it. But someone told me that Rav Zilberstein writes in the Sefer, in one of the Sfarim, that when you're on a plane, what you should do is as soon as the stewardess passes by you, you should light a candle, put it right there on your little tray table, and then it will stay lit till she comes back and tells you to put out the candle. And they pull you off the plane in handcuffs, and you spend the night in prison. It seemed like a very unrealistic, maybe that suggestion was a pre-9/11 suggestion, but it seems like a very unrealistic suggestion to actually light a candle on the plane. It seems unwise in the extreme. So it doesn't seem that one would light a candle on a plane. However, others have told me that they've asked their rabbin here in Yeshiva, someone told me Rav Baruch Simon. I didn't speak to Rav Simon myself about this, but someone said Rav Simon was telling everyone who was flying on Hanukkah, take a little flashlight and light a flashlight on the plane. And that way you'll be Yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah with a flashlight. Very fascinating discussion why it is that we don't use electric menorahs. What's the problem? Meaning if we hold that an incandescent bulb has a din of Eish, for Hilchos Shabbos, for concerns of Melachas Havara and Shabbos, and we know Reb Chaim Eizer made a Bori Moria Eish on an incandescent bulb, so why not? Why can't we use it for Neres Chanukah? So there are four or five different reasons that different poskim suggest that we don't use it for Neres Chanukah, but it's far from a vadai that you're not Yotzei Neres Chanukah with an electric light bulb. Certainly if it has its own battery right there, because one of the main tainas against the electric bulb is that it doesn't have its entire fuel source present, and the halakha is in Shulchan Aruch that you need a half hour of oil in the menorah when you light and when you plug a menorah into the wall, so the electric current is constantly flowing. It's not all there at the time, but if you have a battery right there, you have the full electric power. You have 30 minutes worth of juice in the battery right there, assuming you change the battery beforehand. So it's far from a vaday that you're not yotzei the mitzvah. So maybe you can be yotzei the mitzvah. Maybe you could. Whether you make a bracha or not, okay, it's also debatable, but even if you don't want to make a bracha, maybe you could be yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah on a plane by lighting a flashlight. Now, the downside of that is that is twofold. First of all, it's not so pashut that a flashlight is okay for Ner Chanukah, because there is a whole slew of poskim, Rav Shechter amongst them, who are very concerned that when you stam light an electric bulb, it's not enough dumya de menorah. It's not similar enough to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. And Neres Chanukah have to be in some way similar to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why there are many poskim that hold that if you take candles and you just stick it down on a table, you put a piece of foil and you just stick the candles down on a table instead of putting them into some sort of kli, some sort of chanukiah, some sort of menorah that will hold them. There are many poskim that hold that one is not yotzei the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah this way. Rav Shechter often tells the story that Rav Soloveitchik, when he used to come in to New York during Hanukkah, he would always forget his menorah every single year. He was very, very brilliant and somewhat absent-minded sometimes, so he would always forget his menorah. And he would do that. He would take the candles and he would stick them down on the windowsill. And Rav Shechter tells the story that one time he was about to daven mincha in Shir, and someone comes running into Rav Shechter's Shirim and says, I have a message from Rav Soloveitchik. Yeah, what is it? He says, you're crazy. So he says, what? What do you mean? Well, he was last night we were by him and he was lighting the Neros Chanukah on the windowsill. And we said, oh, Rabbi Shechter said that you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah that way. So tell Shechter he's crazy. So the guy did a shlichus and he went to tell Rabbi Shechter. It's a machlokes haposkin. It's a machlokes haposkin whether one could be Yotzei. What's the taina not to be Yotzei? The taina is that it's not dumya to the Ner in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash they had a menorah, and in the menorah they had oil, and the oil they had wicks, and on the wicks they had flames, and the electric flashlight is not at all similar. So that's one possible problem with just turning on an electric flashlight on the plane. The other problems are, there are other problems that are practical problems, in that when you turn on the electric flashlight, it's got to stay on for a half hour, it should be recognizable that it's the Shei Mitzvah, that it's for the sake of Ner Chanukah. You're sort of in close quarters. When you fly anything but first class, you're sort of in close quarters, and turning on random lights is likely to disturb somebody, or you're likely to be Nehenah from the random lights, which is also probably Nehenah from Or Chanukah, so from Ner Chanukah. So you could cause all sorts of practical problems. But more fundamentally than any of that, who says you're chayiv in Ner Chanukah when you're on a plane? Meaning this whole discussion of how do you light Ner Chanukah on your plane? Should you get arrested by lighting a candle? Should you light a flashlight? Should you say, who says you're chayiv in Ner Chanukah on a plane? Maybe you're tatapati. Maybe there's no chayiv whatsoever when you're traveling. Who says that you putter in time? What would make you putter? You're not putter from other mitzvahs when you're traveling. Many people don't realize this. You're not putter from tznius and from kashras and davening and when you're traveling. Why would a person be putter from their chanukah while they're traveling? So Moshe writes like this in the Tshuva. Moshe Nivus Moshe in Yardechel Gimel Simin Yad Dalid writes that someone who has no Misha in Lobayis Klal. Let's say you have a homeless person. Yashin Bachutz, he sleeps outside. I'm on page one of the Maamar Kamos of you. After the cover page, don't be distracted by that, as beautiful as it is. So he said, the guy is Nitzav Amidbar, Vigam Kishi'ira Shalohaya Bebeso, Via Bederech Kalalaila, or someone who just happens to not be home. And he's on the road all night. He's traveling all night on the night of Hanukkah. And Shiloh, someone called me, they're driving back from Cleveland through the night. So when did they light Neros Chanukah? The same Shiloh. You're traveling all night long. Ve'en lo mi sheyadlik bebeso. Now, very important. You don't have somebody who's lighting for you in your house. If you have somebody who's lighting for you in your house, there's no problem. The shayla is open. Then it's easy. You are fulfilling the Ner Chanukah through a shliach. You have the shliach light for you, and you're done. Everything's wonderful. Let's assume you don't have anybody who can light for you at your house, and you're traveling through the night. Says Rav Moshe, Mashma Merashi Shabbos Tachav Gimel Amar Aleph, that the person is completely potter. He has no mitzvah at all. What's the raya? I'm not going to read inside, but I'll say it outside. The raya is as follows. Rashi talks about, the Gemara talks about, if a person didn't light Ner Chanukah, but he's roeh Ner Chanukah, he sees Ner Chanukah. You know, they say the Brisker Rav used to walk home after Marav like this, so that he wouldn't see any Ner Chanukah and raise a shayla whether he should make a birchas haroeh. If a person sees Ner Chanukah and he didn't light Ner Chanukah yet, and he's not going to light Ner Chanukah that night, so there's a bracha, he should make the bracha shas nisin when he sees Ner Chanukah. So says Rashi, what's an example of somebody who's not going to light Ner Chanukah? Just take a candle, light Ner Chanukah. Why would you possibly ever have a situation where you're not going to light Ner Chanukah, but you're going to see a Ner Chanukah? So Rashi says it's a guy who's on a boat. Someone who's traveling on a boat. So ask for Moshe, okay, so you're traveling on a boat. Take out a candle and light the candle on the boat. What's the problem? Why would you be relying on the Birkas HaRoeh? Light your own Ner Chanukah on the boat. So says Rav Moshe, oh, what are you going to tell me? It must be that we're talking about a guy who's traveling on a boat and he has no Ner Chanukah. He's traveling on a boat and he doesn't have any Neros. Well, then why mention the whole boat part? Just say that you have a guy who doesn't have any Neros. Why would Rashi even mention the fact that he's on a boat? Elamai, says Rav Moshe, the guy is traveling on a boat, he has plenty of Neros, but he has no mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is Ner Ishu Beso, and he's not in a house. He's far away from home. He's traveling the whole night. So a person doesn't have a mitzvah to begin with of Ner Chanukah while he's traveling. So Rav Moshe says, therefore, there's no chiyuv. There's simply no mitzvah while a person is traveling. There's no mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. When a guy is home and he just can't afford a Ner Chanukah, or Rachmana Litzlan can't afford a candle, so he has a mitzvah, but he just can't afford to do the mitzvah, so then the halach p'suk and shulchan aruch have to sell your clothing in order to be able to do the mitzvah. But when you're traveling, you don't even have a mitzvah to begin with. So you're not going to have to pay money to change your ticket. You're not a bar chiyuv. You don't have the mitzvah to begin with in Ner Chanukah. That luchora is how Rav Moshe would say, in this case, that there's no mitzvah. Yeah?
Is there a problem treated in a situation where you're not going to be
So in general, that's a very questionable thing to do, to put yourself in. So let's assume in this case, you should not make that ticket, if that's the question. The guy already made the ticket. He wants to know to get out of the ticket. Now, certainly you should not make the ticket. There is a discussion, there's a fascinating discussion in the Minchas Chinuch. The Tzlach and Pesachim that Gimel and Beis discusses, there's a Tosos, see how little the sugya I could say and still get the point across. Tosos raises the issue that for a person to get out of the mitzvah of being Ola L'Regel, all you have to be is a non-landowner. As long as you don't own land, you don't have to be Ola L'Regel. What about for doing the mitzvah of Karban Pesach? So the way that Tzlach reads the Tosos, the Tzlach says, is that let's say you live in Washington Heights. So you know you have a mitzvah to be Ola L'Regel, but you don't own any land, so you don't have a mitzvah to be Ola L'Regel. So what's going to happen is comes up Pesach time, you should have to go to Eretz Yisrael to bring Karban Pesach anyway. You're not going to be Ola L'Regel, but at least go bring Karban Pesach. Says the Tzlach, no, you could wake up an Erev Pesach in the morning, here in Washington Heights, and say, oh, now it's time to do Karban Pesach. Oh, but look at that, I'm all the way here in Washington Heights. I'm never going to be able to make it to the Beis HaMikdash in time. Oh, well, I guess I'm B'derek Rechoka, I guess I'm Pati. And that's okay. You don't have to think about the mitzvah until the zman of the mitzvah arrives. Aliyah L'Regel, you need to think about it in advance because the mitzvah is already in advance. The mitzvah is in advance to go. That's the whole mitzvah. But you're not landowning your pug from Aliyah L'Regel. What about Karban Pesach? Says, no, I guess I can't do it. It's too late. By the time you have to think about the mitzvah, it's too late. So Minchas Tilos goes nuts on that. He said, what are you talking about? Then no one would ever do any mitzvah. And if that were true, says Minchas Tilos, no Karban Pesach ever would have been brought in the history of the Jewish people. Because most people were B'derek Rechoka. And if most people are B'derek Rechoka, the halacha is you only bring Pesach training when it's a miyut of Kal Yisrael. So most people are B'derek Rechoka by Pesach Rishon. No one would have ever brought Karban Pesach. So he says it's absurd. That can't possibly be the case. But they're really struggling with that issue. How much do you need to think about it before? But let's make that easier and say, he already made the ticket, it's too late. It's too late about making the ticket, but he could spend a lot of money to change the ticket. So we can safely say he's in the situation.
Is putting himself in the situation, is that buying the ticket or is that walking out?
Also, fair point. I mean, you could very cogently argue that he's not yet in the situation. He's nothing's going to happen to him if he doesn't go on that plane. If he misses the flight, nothing's going to happen to him. Okay, you could make that argument. Yeah.
Is the Rosh's dig from Rashi, is that not necessarily so
Mukhrach? Yeah, not really. He has a better raya from Tosus and Sukkah, but for time constraints.
Like the Berachas Raya, is that not necessarily separate from Hadlat Neros?
The Gemara says you could do it separately. Meaning, if you're not going to light, then you do a Berachas Raya. That part is it's just that this whole binyan that he builds, you know, with. It must be that he has an heir, and it's just why, you know, the whole thing is a little bit casual. He has a better right to Tosfos. His Yisod is pretty nice. Not everyone agrees, but it's he has more than one right to this Yisod. So now I was thinking, okay, let's say you have this guy. He's on the plane. So we already have one possibility that he can be outside on the plane. So it's no problem at all. Of course, he's not going to have to change his ticket. Just turn on the flashlight. Okay, that's one possibility. Then we have a second possibility, that maybe he doesn't have to change his ticket because he's not a Bar Chiyuva at all. He's not Chayiv in the mitzvah. Then I started to think, well, wait a second. Generally speaking, if someone can't afford a mitzvah, if let's say the last lulav of esrog would cost you the shirt off your back, the last piece of matzah would cost you the shirt off your back, the halacha is you don't have to sell the shirt off your back to do the mitzvah. So generally speaking, we would say someone in a situation where you can't afford the mitzvah is also not chayiv in the mitzvah. Anus Rachmana Hatrei. He's pater from a mitzvah. That's generally the way the rule would work out, that someone like that is pater from a mitzvah. So why is it, by Ner Chanukah, that we're mechayev a guy who can't afford the mitzvah? And once we understand why we're going to make him pay all that money for the mitzvah, maybe we can figure out whether we would say that being in a situation of being pater from the mitzvah would be enough to get you out of it, or maybe no. Maybe just like you have to spend to buy a candle, you have to spend to get into a situation where you're going to be chayiv in the mitzvah. You know, see what I'm saying? When a guy is traveling, you want to say, he's an anus, he's not chayiv in the mitzvah at all. Well, guess what? A guy who can't afford a mitzvah normally is also an anus, and he also is not chayiv at all. But you know what? By Ner Chanukah, we say that he's got to spend the money anyway. So maybe by the plane ticket, even if you accept Rav Moshe, that he's an onus and he can't afford the mitzvah at all, he's not bar chiyuv at all, but maybe he has to spend the money to become a bar chiyuv. So what are the svaras? Why is it that we have to spend so much money on Erev Chavetah? So I'm aware of two mahalchim. There's the mahalch of the Avnei Nezer. It's Maram Shik says like this as well in his Sefer HaMitzvos. The Avnei Nezer in Simtav Kofalim suggests the following. He says that the idea of, and the same concept is elaborated on by Rav Yosef Engel and Asfand Arais of Kal Yigimel, but the basic idea is as follows, that there are certain mitzvos that are completely between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the sense that the mitzvah is, as I heard from Rav Yonasan Sachs once explained very nicely, he said there is what we call maisa-oriented mitzvos and goal-oriented mitzvos. A maisa-oriented mitzvah is a mitzvah that I do. I do. Why am I shaking the lulav? Because Hashem said shake the lulav, and that makes Hashem happy. Yes, I do the maisa. What am I accomplishing by shaking the lulav? I don't know. I'm doing the mitzvah. I'm accomplishing the mitzvah. That's it. That's what I'm accomplishing. There's no goal that I'm trying to achieve. Let's take a different mitzvah. Asiyas maka al gagecha. To make a maka around your roof. So it's not, what am I accomplishing by building the maka? I'm doing the maisa mitzvah of building a maka. No, that's not what I'm accomplishing. What I'm accomplishing is a safe environment. I'm accomplishing a safe home. There are certain mitzvahs that are very clearly goal-oriented in nature. They're not just maisa-oriented. So says Rav Yosef Engel and the Avnei Nezer in less clear terminology, when it comes to a mitzvah persume misa, yeah, there may be a mitzvah hadlaka, the maisa of hadlaka, but there's a very clear goal of accomplishing persume misa. The din that you don't have to spend more money than you could afford on a mitzvah, is a din in a maisa-oriented mitzvah. To do any maisa mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Maran Bracha says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're an anus if you can't afford it, and therefore it's ki'ilu aso, it's as if you did it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this one's on me, I'll make it as if you did it. That's by a maisa-oriented mitzvah. But when you have a goal-oriented mitzvah, let's take makkah for instance. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, ah, never, if you can't afford it, the roofer is charging so much money for a fence around the roof, you can't afford it, don't worry, this one's on me. And then a guy falls off your roof and dies. You say, oh, sorry, this one was on God. Well, that guy's not going to like the fact that that one was on God. He's not going to be happy with the result. You were supposed to achieve a result, and you didn't achieve it. So what do you mean it's ki'ilu asav? It's not ki'ilu asav, because the roof is unsafe. When it comes to a mitzvah persumi nisa, there's a clear goal in mind, and that is being mefarsim the nes. Anything short of being mefarsim the nes, you didn't do the mitzvah. And therefore, you have to do whatever you can to accomplish that goal. Even spending way more money than you would normally spend on a mitzvah. That's one possible svara. Another possible svara from Mori Rabbi Rav Shafter in Mipnei Arav, he quotes from Rav Soloveitchik as follows. He says that, very beautiful, Derech Hashkafa, he says that, in general, the Ribbono Shel Olam limits himself when he runs the world to certain rules. He runs the world in a reasonable way. Those rules that he runs the world with are called teva. That generally the Ribbono Shel Olam acts in a reasonable way, that reasonable way is called Teva. Generally speaking, we live our lives in a reasonable way, and Hashem expects us to live our lives in a reasonable way. You don't take every last penny you have and buy an esrog with every last penny you have. I often comment to my Talmidim that that movie, what was it called? The guy spent all of his last penny on Ushbizin. It bothered me so much. It's neged the halacha. The guy spent all of his last... I'm such a kalta litvak, but it bothered me so much that he spent his last pennies on nesan. It's against the halacha. Hamavaz is al yivaz v'zilsim yifamash. You're not allowed to. It's awesome. So he spent... Why do we not spend our last pennies on nesan? Because that's unreasonable. Because Nebuch, the guy had no food in his pantry. His wife, Nebuch, was going to starve. They had nothing. So we're expected to live within reason, even in our Shviras HaMitzvahs. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to spend within reason, live within reason. But every once in a while, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself will go beyond his normal, reasonable way of running the world, will go outside of his normal rules, meaning what we call Teva, and he'll make a Nes. And when we celebrate a Nes, when we celebrate the Ribbono Shel Olam going beyond Teva, so we should also break our normal rules. We should also not be reasonable. And just go all in. We have a mitzvah, we're going to do a mitzvah, we're mechuyev in a mitzvah that's beyond that commemorates a nes, so we're going to go beyond our normal rules, and we're just going to go all in and spend all our money on that mitzvah. That's how salvation explained. So I was thinking, maybe the two reasons would be enough to mean in our case. When you have a guy who can't afford Neiros Chanukah, some there are two ways to understand why he has to spend all that money, why he has to sell his clothing for Neres Chanukah. One way of understanding it is he has to sell his clothing for Neres Chanukah because the bottom line is you need to do Pirsumei Nisa. Whatever it takes, get it done. It doesn't matter what kind of sacrifice you're making to get it done. Get it done. The other way to understand it is that the din of HaMevazeh, Zal Yevazeh, Yosef Michalmesh, doesn't apply to Neres Chanukah. Why? Because you have to spend more money on this mitzvah since it's the commemorated Nes. So once you're chayiv in the mitzvah, you're not limited by the din of HaMevazeh, Zal Yevazeh, Yosef Michalmesh. Which would mean that if you're not chayiv in the mitzvah, you wouldn't have to spend a lot of money to become chayiv. It's a din for somebody who's chayiv in the mitzvah to limit his spending, to not limit his spending, to spend as much as he can once he's chayiv in the mitzvah. There's no amivazves. But if you're not even chayiv in the mitzvah, so you don't have any requirement to become a chayiv, so I thought maybe that's enough gemina between our cases, there's enough gemina between the Avnei Nezer and Rav Soloveitchik's explanation. That if you say like the Avnei Nezer's explanation, then it's not about whether you're chayiv in the mitzvah, not chayiv in the mitzvah. It's about Pirsumei Nisa. Is Pirsumei Nisa done al yadcha? If it's not, well then get it done. I don't care if you're on a plane in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Get off that plane, get it done. But if you say like Rav Soloveitchik, it's not about the result. It's about a rule within the confines of this mitzvah. That when you have a baruch yuv in this mitzvah, so the guy has to forget about the rule that you don't spend so much money. So you spend all the money. But if you're not a baruch yuv to begin with because you're on a plane, so good, then you don't have to worry about spending all that money because you're not a baruch yuv to begin with. Maybe that's enough community. There is a broader discussion in general. I want to at least get to one more shadow, so I'll try to wrap this up. There's a broader discussion in general. If you look at the Asfand al-Raisa and Paul Yud Gimel, whether onus rachmana patre in general, when we say that a person is an onus and he can't do the mitzvah, does that mean the mitzvah doesn't exist? Or does that mean the mitzvah exists, it's just that he's not going to be faulted for failure to do the mitzvah? That may also play a role over here. Because let's assume not like Rav Moshe. Let's assume the guy on the plane is chayiv in the mitzvah, but Nebuch, he's an onus. If he lights a candle, he's going to get arrested. So no one would hold you have to get arrested and make a tremendous little Hashem, and we don't have to be reading about that in the newspapers. Everyone would hold you don't light the candle, let's assume. I would imagine Rav Silverstein would be moved that you don't really have to light a candle and get arrested post 9/11. So if you're going to assume not like Rav Moshe, that the guy is chayiv, but onus rachmana patre, he's an onus while he's on the plane. Well, there are two ways to understand that also. Onus rachmana patre might mean that he's patur legamri, that the mitzvah doesn't exist, or it might mean that the mitzvah exists, but so it's there, but we're not going to fault him for not doing it. In which case, maybe he should have to spend a lot of money to make sure he does it. Spend a lot of money to change his plane ticket to make sure that he's able to do the mitzvah. The Nafkamina, the Svanda Raisa quotes, if a person misses a tefillah because of an ones, does he daven tefillah tashlum? So if Anas Rachman Apad, it's Makov, it's Taz in the Drisha. So if Anas Rachman Apatre means that there's no mitzvah at all, so there was no tefillah that you missed. There was no tefillah. So then you wouldn't do tefillah tashlumim. But if Anas Rachman Apatre means that there was a mitzvah, it's just that God's going to forgive you for not doing it, so then there would be tefillah tashlumim. At the end of the day, I thought, personally, and you could go in any which way on this shayla, I thought Mikra didn't probably Rabbeinu is correct over here, that the guy is not chayiv b'klal. And I would think that the halacha would be that if you're not chayiv in the mitzvah at all, you don't have to, you're not required to spend all that money to change the ticket to become chayiv in the mitzvah, that the din that you spend all the money on Neres Chanukah is when you're a baruch yuva, you simply can't afford the mitzvah. But light a flashlight, if he wants to light a flashlight on a plane anyway, without a bracha, definitely without a bracha.
But could his daughter be Nishliya?
So that's not postured at all, because he's leaving her house before the Zman Hadlaka. So he's already oker from that residence before the Zman Hadlaka. So his real makom for Hadlaka is his own home, where he's heading to. If it's not the plane. It's either the plane or it's his own home where he's heading to. So he's sort of, he's sort of in between. He's sort of homeless during this tkufa that he's on the plane. But Pasha is definitely not the daughter. There's a similar discussion I spoke recently in yeshiva about someone out of the Talmud got married. It was Masar Kedushin at a wedding on Wednesday night, so the Talmud wanted to know where does he Where does he light Neres Chanukah? So there's also a similar discussion. He's homeless. He left his parents' home. He's not moving into his apartment until the following night. So he's homeless for that night. So where does he light Neres Chanukah? So Maishal Lechara would say, Patid. So that's a question. Do you light at the hall? Do you light at the hotel? Do you light? Do you, are you yotzei with the parents lighting? So no, okay, it's a limited discussion. We have time for one more. We'll do one more. Rather than go deeper into this one, I think we'll do maybe one more. Any of you read any of the other questions? Have a preference which one we should do?
Number 2.
Okay. There must have been, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 dozen articles that I've seen, didn't read most of them about Thanksgiving. Most of them, I don't know, didn't really add anything new to the conversation, I don't think. The idea that Hanukkah falls out on Thanksgiving is a rare occurrence, but for the most part a meaningless occurrence. It doesn't really mean anything. All the shilas that people say, oh, I got a Thanksgiving shila, the shilas were always, can I eat before I love Neres Chanukah? So that happens whenever you have a Chanukah party, Shaila. It's not a Thanksgiving Shaila. But then I got one that was a real Thanksgiving Shaila. This I was also very misspelled. A woman had to go to the mikveh on Thursday night. So Thursday night was the second night of Chanukah. It also happens to have been Thanksgiving. They were invited to her family, or to his family, I don't remember, to her husband's family, whichever it was. They were having a Thanksgiving feast at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Traditional Thanksgiving feast, for those who are not familiar, involves a turkey. And they were going to be eating turkey at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, the halach is in Shulchan Aruch that a woman on the Leil Tevilah, not just the Leil Tevilah, on the entire day preceding her Tevilah, preceding going to the mikvah, the halach is that she's not allowed to eat basar. So her shayla is, however, let's say a woman has a Tevilah on Motzai Shabbos. So she's not allowed to eat basar at all on Shabbos, so we pass her, of course she's allowed to eat basar on Shabbos, it's through this mitzvah, it's part of the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, that she should eat basar, so of course, or Motzai Yomtev. Simchas Yomtev, of course, she has a mitzvah to eat basar. Host can discuss, what about Purim? So they say, Purim also, the mitzvah of Simcha, she should eat basar, good, that's fine, we'll forego the halacha, or the minhag, not to eat basar, the whole day of the tefillah, for Shabbos, for Yomtev, for Purim. For Thanksgiving, not so much. We probably wouldn't say. But it wasn't just Thanksgiving this year. It was also Chanukah. So a very clever husband said, the husband said, wait a second, this might be a Sudas Mitzvah. Why is it a Sudas Mitzvah? Because it's Chanukah. Having a Suda on Chanukah is Sudas Mitzvah. And maybe you can be allowed to eat turkey at the meal because Sudas Mitzvah for Chanukah. That was the Chah. So in order to answer that question, whether that's true or not, whether that's correct or not, you need to take a step back and say, well, where does this whole basar thing come from? The idea of not eating basar, how strong of a minhag is it, and why exactly do we make an exception for Shabbos and for Yom Tov? So it's based on a comment that Beis Yosef has, that many of the most beautiful and really the most chamor minhagim that we have when it comes to Hilchos Nida were thought of by the women themselves. And there's the Chumrat Rabbi Zeira, that Benos Yisrael Chumira Latzman. If you haven't learned Lukas Nidi yet, you'll get there. But Beis Yosef writes, Re'isi Nashim Ksheros. I've seen that Nashim Ksheros have a beautiful minhag. Shalol lechol basar b'yom lechta lebeis hatvila. That they don't eat meat the day they go to the mikvah. And the reason they don't eat meat is because meat gets stuck between the teeth. And you can't have a chatzitza between the teeth when you go to the mikvah. They could brush their teeth and they could floss and we'll all be good. I remember when I was taking chassam classes with Rabbi Neuberger many years ago. He was saying how a woman should brush her teeth before going to the mikvah. And it used to be not a one-on-one thing. It was like 15 guys in the room. And one guy said, wait a second, what about flossing? So Rabbi Neuberger said, dental student? And the guy said, yeah. Good guess. So she should, even though she's going to clean her teeth, that basar gets stuck between the teeth. Basar is very hard to remove from between the teeth. So this problem most often comes up during the summertime. You're invited to a family barbecue. Shkia is not till 8:30. Barbecue's at 6 o'clock. What are you going to eat at the barbecue? Well, you're not going to eat the meat, so we're going to eat the corn on the cob. That's much worse. That gets stuck between the teeth a lot worse than meat gets stuck between the teeth. So that's where it most commonly comes up. But it's a minhag, because we assume la halacha, a woman will be able to clean out her teeth properly. She'll brush, she'll floss, and whatever's going to be left after brushing and flossing is a miyat shein makbid. It's not going to be a chatzitza in the tevila. That's what we would generally assume, but it's a minhag. However, it's a minhag that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch writes that yesh nagim shalolach l'basar b'yom left on the yom atvila m'neishu nichlas b'yom shnayim yosim michael after it gets stuck between the teeth more so than other foods v'yafal b'yishabot goes v'chotzos shnayim even though she brushes and flosses choshesh's dilmet shtayim v'nevel avadaita u'minag yafehu. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's a very good minag. This is a minag yafeh. Interestingly, the Gra says, and where does this come from, this idea of basar bein hashinayim? It comes from the 8th parak of Maseches Chulin, daf kuf hei amud aleph. Achal basar asar b'chulin. The Gra in classic style, the Gra doesn't give you half a line and you're supposed to know what he's talking about. The Gra refers to the Gemara in Chulin that says that if a person eats meat, you're not allowed to eat milchigs right afterwards. And the Rambam says, why are you not allowed to eat milchigs right afterwards? Basar bein hashinayim. Because meat will get stuck in between your teeth. So first, there's a tiny minority of poskim that say that maybe it doesn't apply to chicken. Maybe it doesn't apply to fowl. Maybe it doesn't apply to turkey. Assuming you're allowed to eat turkey, let's work with that. Maybe it doesn't apply to chicken or turkey, that it only applies to basar behema. So there is a small minority of poskim that assume that it won't apply, but pashtus is it does apply. How do I know it does apply? Because what is the gra? Shtel to this halacha too. What is he to borrow Rabbi J.J. Shaftel's lashon? What is the Gra connect this halacha to? He connects it to the halacha that you, after eating meat, you should wait 6 hours before you eat milchigs. And do we wait 6 hours after chicken? Do we wait 6 hours after turkey? Yes, we do. We wait during after chicken and turkey also. So if it's the same halacha, it's mistaver that it should apply to all types of meat. So that's halacha. So probably it applies to turkey as well. So what kinds of sudas are we make? So we said sudas mitzvah. Okay, so the next thing to look at is a sudas chanukah a sudas mitzvah? So the Mechaber says that there's no din of the eating sudas in source number 5 and the bottom of page 3. Read my sudas shemram, that means sudas rishus, it's all sudas rishus. But says the Ramah, if you can say zmiros v'tishbachos, and you combine that together with the fact that it's chanukah, it's not just any sudas you say zmiros v'tishbachos becomes sudas mitzvah. You need both. It needs to be Zmiros with the Shmachos and Chanukah. You put them together, you have a Sudas Mitzvah. So the guy said to me, do we have to sing Zmiros to make the Sudas Mitzvah in order to be able to solve this problem? So I said, probably Zmiros with the Shmachos doesn't necessarily mean that you have to necessarily sing. It means that you should say Halvel Dot HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should say Mishmi Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like you should go around the table saying what you're thankful for. Something like that, which probably you're going to do anyway. So that's probably good enough in terms of making a sudas mitzvah. But then, when you read through the poskim that discuss the din of not eating basar, the minute of not eating basar in the day of tefillah, and why they're mekel with Shabbos, why they're mekel with yantif, they all emphasize because Shabbos is not a Shabbos without meat. Yantif is not a yantif without meat. Even Purim, you have to have some meh, pistach with meat. So it's the most appropriate food to have on Shabbos and on Yantif. So you're not going to ruin your Shabbos, ruin your Yantif, ruin your Purim because of a minag that Hashem Ksheros had. What's the most appropriate food to have on Chanukah? So Shulchan Aruch says right after that, mamish the next line in Ramah, after Benoah the Lomar Zviros Shvachos and then Vaz Havisudas Mitzvah, the very next words, Yesh Omrim, Sheyesh Lechon Kavina B'Chanukah, L'fisha Nes Nasa B'Chalav. The minag is that we eat milchigs. That's the most appropriate food to eat on Hanukkah. So you can say, I'm eating meat because it's a Sudas Mitzvah, and because it's a Sudas Mitzvah, that's why it's not going to be a problem with the Tevila. It's hard to say. If it was really about the Sudas Mitzvah, you would be having cheese. You wouldn't be having meat. But then there's a third issue, and with this we'll close because I'm already late. And the third issue is that, in general, there is a Ramah, it's from Reish Beis. Ramah says that when the night that a woman goes to the mitzvah, she should be mastir lel tevilasa. For tznius reasons, she shouldn't go around advertising, hey everybody, I'm going to the mikvah, I'll see you soon. You don't tweet, guess what I have? you don't advertise when you're going to the mikvah. For tznius reasons, you're supposed to keep it quiet when you go into the mikvah. So Rav Vadia discusses, he quotes Makhluk Saposni about this, in Taras Habayis, Chelek Gimel, Rav Vadia discusses, if she's not going to eat meat at the Suda, everyone's going to realize that tonight's her lel tevilah. She doesn't have to hide when she's in Nida. That's a different issue. Lel Tevila she's supposed to hide. And eating basar is directly linked with Lel Tevila. So if everyone's going to chap, maybe that's a chisaron and tznius that would outweigh the minna. Because I thought when you put all of them together, it was enough reason to be Mekel. Well, I spoke to my brother, he vehemently disagreed with me, but I thought that there was enough to be Mekel when you put all of them together. That the minority of Poskim, Rabbi Nukhagar, amongst them, who holds that fowl is not a problem, that chicken and turkey and that kind of thing is not a problem. Then you have the possibility that it's Sudas Mitzvah with Shiros V'Tishbachos, and Sudas Mitzvah is not. Then you have the plus the Chisar and Tzias, that everyone's going to realize she always eats turkey, and boom, this year she decides that she's not going to eat turkey. So they're either going to think she's pregnant and nauseous, or they're going to think that she's going to the mikveh, and either one is going to be uncomfortable for her. So I thought that we put all three together, as long as she promises to brush and floss again after, I thought there was room to be made.
Can you just